and you've gone through some hellacious stuff in the last week, and God delivered you, say, praise the Lord. Say, praise the Lord. It's hard being a preacher. If you woke up this morning in your right mind, say, thank you, Jesus. And if you believe that God has a purpose in your life, stand up right now and give God a round of applause. Let us pray. God, you did it again. You awakened us to another day. We didn't deserve it. We're not good enough. But your grace always intercedes. And so, God, we thank you for your love in this place. We thank you for the love of your people. And we know you're going to do something miraculous today in our lives. Actually, you've already done it. You gave us another day. So God, be with us through these next few moments as you continue to dwell with us. There may be some people here for the first time. We invite them to join this community of McKendree. There may be some people here who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we ask that they would do that at some point in time in this worship experience. And God, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, for they are many. But your grace is more abundant. Now hide me behind your cross, that your people will be clear who's speaking this morning, God. This is all about you. All our attention and focus is on you this morning. And this is never about us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, giving up expectations. Now it's going to get ugly. Because everybody has expectations, don't they? The question often becomes, are your expectations rooted in God? Or your expectations rooted in self? Most of us, I'll tell you, we grew up with people putting expectations on us. And I had to kind of intercede in my own family when we were talking about where we wanted our children to go and what we wanted our children to be. And I said, time out. What does God want? It's a hard question to ask because we often don't ask God until we're in trouble and we say, come and save us. But there's this young couple, and they're still young. Tony and Laura were on this pilgrimage, on this journey to find another church. And their expectation was to spend a year going to worship places until God led them to the one. But they were going to do it for a year. Then after the year, they're going to reevaluate. Well, then something happened. They walked through the doors of McKendree. And they realized they did not need to look any further. And it was less than a year. It was considerably less than a year that they come into this place and say, this is it. And here's what happened. They had an expectation over here. And God had God's expectation. And I'm so glad that they submitted to God's expectation because they're here. And because they're here, we're better for that. So I don't know where you are in your journey. But let me tell you this morning, if you do nothing else, surrender. Surrender your issues and let God exchange for God's. It's always better. Let me tell you, I fumble the ball often during the week when I say, God, I got this play. And God says, no, I have the play. I said, no, God, give me the ball and let me run. I know what I'm doing. Have you ever done that? I got this, God. I'll call you when I need you. And we may have got on speed dial, right? But we never hit it until it's at that point where we're crying out, screaming out, Lord, have mercy. And if you have children, you probably say that about 4,000 times a day. Amen, Jesus. But there's something about expectations that we have not only for ourselves, but we have for others. And when those expectations are not fulfilled, we get disappointed. Anybody been disappointed lately? Hard, isn't it? It's hard regrouping from being disappointed. But once again, when our expectations are not aligned with God's, I think we spend a disproportionate amount of time being messed up. And sometimes, hear me on this one, sometimes our stuff is self-inflicted. Nobody did it. We can't blame anybody but us. We have to do some maritime and say, God, have mercy on me. I blew it. I spend a lot of maritime because I know how to blow it well. If you want a class on how to blow it, I'm going to start teaching one after Lent. And how do you move from God's expectations to living into the fullness of God? It's not easy. But we had this guy named Abram, and here's what's interesting about Abram. He doesn't have a resume. Brother is 75 years old. He finally gets some play in the Bible. He's 75. Chances are he's about to have a few years later, and then he's gone. But he's really at the halfway point of his life. He's at halftime. Imagine a game. First and second quarters have been played, and then God says, it's halftime. You're not going back in the game. I have a new game for you. Ouch! God, I want to finish the game. Don't we want to finish well? But sometimes God will move us from the expectation of self to the expectation of a Savior. And the expectation of a Savior is always greater than our own little short-lived lives. And so we look at this guy named Abram. We go, okay, Abram, the only thing we know about you is that you have a father. T-Rod, that's it. That's all we know about him. He's 75 years old. How does he get any part of the Bible? We don't know anything else about him. But here's what we do know. He's still living at home with his parents. You need to laugh. He's married. They have no children. Taboo. And here's the other deal. If he dies, his name doesn't go forward. And for a man in those days, you had to have a son so your name could go forward. He's 75, no accomplishments yet. Can you imagine what scrutiny must have been going on? He's at a midlife crisis, and we all have crises, don't we? And when those crises happen in our lives, here's what I guarantee you. God shows up. God loves a good crisis. And before we start to pout and get angry and walk away, stand. And watch God do what God does. Because God is always attracted to crisis. And just when you think you boo-hooed enough, you've shed the last tear, you've been anguished over another night that you didn't sleep, the relationship's not going as planned, the job is about to kick your butt, hurt you, and you'd have to stand. And standing's not fun, because standing means you got to rely on something greater than who you are. And so we have this story, and it's crazy because moving is difficult. I don't like moving. Let me tell you why. You got to go get boxes. Then you got to label those boxes. Then you got to put stuff in the box, tape the box up, move the box to a truck. Then you get in the truck, you drive the truck to the destination. You park it, you take the boxes that you just put in, you take them out. When you get them in the house, you have to put the labels on them to put them in the right room. Stay with me, you all. You open the boxes and what you just put in, you're taking out. You talk about useless time. Who wants to move? Abram is 75. If you're 75 years old, do you want to move? Do you even want to think differently? No. Do you want to eat differently? No. Do you want to play differently? No, because you're 75. The other part of 75 means that sometimes you have to wait on God's blessings. We don't hear anything about Abram until he's 75. How long do we have to wait, God, for you to show up in our lives? Let me tell you, God was showing up in Abram's life, but he probably didn't recognize it because he was still at home with his mommy and daddy at 75. Still not paying any bills, okay? No rent, okay? Didn't help with the groceries. Abram is just chilling in the house, right? Every day with my honey bun, my wife. Not contributing at all. And then God said, okay, enough of this. I need to get you to a place that you can start contributing. And he says, let me tell you what I'm going to show you. I'm going to take you to the promised land, a land of milk and honey. Whatever you've ever dreamed of, I'm getting ready to show you. So God is always ready, first of all, to show us something. And I want to tell you this morning. Blessings. God's intervention comes unexpectedly. Read that scripture with me. Now the Lord said to Abram, keep reading, go from your country, from your kindred. Leave your comfort. You got to go. I don't know where you're going, but you got to leave here. You have to go. I know your money, your bank account's good. Leave it alone. I know you got friends and family. So what? I got some new friends and family for you. In my last group, you can no longer stay in my house. You have to find your own house. You have to pay your own bills. You have to make it for yourself. Who wants to jump on that trip and go for a ride right now? Most of us as Americans are so comfortable that we don't ever want to move from what we're doing. We shop at the same stores. Can I get an amen, somebody? We typically eat the same restaurants. Can I get an amen, somebody? And our friends are typically the same friends. Amen, somebody. Blow it up. That's what God wants to do to us. God wants to blow it up. Because God has something greater than what we're experiencing today, and we can't see it because guess what? We have to know it's coming, and God is not a God of knowing that it's coming. God is a God of faithfulness. And God will say, I have something for you. I need you to trust me. Yeah, right, God. Come on. You want me to pack up at 75 to simply trust you? What have you done for me lately? Isn't that a wonderful question? You ever ask God, I mean, have you ever been in that place where all of a sudden you go, I don't know how I'm going to make it, and God just delivered you out of something, and you still kind of default to, woe is me? Or maybe you have some family or friends who say, woe is me. Or maybe you have some children that often say, woe is me. But God wants us to know God is God. And so Abram's on this journey, and here's what I want you all to know. Sometimes we must trust God even when we don't understand. Can I say that again? Sometimes we must trust God even when we don't understand. Who wants to get in that line? I don't want to get in that line. I want to know, God, can you script it out for me? I need you to print it out and hand it to me. Because I need to know exactly what I'm going to do at 8 o'clock tonight. It's my to-do list. Don't we all have one? And God said, that's not how I operate. I operate out of trust. So if you'll give me your expectations, I'll take care of your life. But, you know, here's what I love to do. I'll say, God, okay, here, God. Now, this is only for illustration purposes, this is not God, okay? And so we say, here, God. And then God takes it, and we go, well, I need it back. And then we'll get to a point where we say, okay, God. And then we'll say, I need it back. Anybody done that before? It feels good when you have it back, doesn't it? Because we think we're in control, but blessings from God are unimaginable. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. So I don't have to go after you if you do me wrong. God's going to take care of that. If you get anything out of today's sermon this morning, stop trying to deal with folk who hurt you. That's not your business. God's got your back. The only thing you need to do is look forward into the future. God is calling us by name. Abram gets a call at 75 and he answers it. Every morning you wake up, you have a calling on your life. I don't know what your calling is. Please don't come to me and say, well, Pastor, tell me what my calling is. I can't do that. I'm working on my own. But I do know God will tell you if you're patient and you wait and you get in a place to pay attention.
What's interesting about this whole idea of being an unimaginable blessing is that he says, I'm going to make you a great nation. Well, think about it. Abram's 75 years old. He doesn't get the great nation until 20-something years later. He's in his 90s. Him and Sarah are about to conceive in their 90s. Can you imagine? I know the women say no. Brothers don't know, so we don't know those kind of things. So we're going, well that seems to be possible. I don't know why it couldn't happen. Aaron, I don't know why it couldn't happen. And so it's interesting, we look at this 75 and plus 20, right? Plus 25, and all of a sudden this child is coming into the world. And God does the unimaginable with Isaac's going to this place as a baby to be sacrificed, and God says, no. You've been obedient. You've been obedient enough. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to intervene. Stop it. There's something over there that's a substitute. There's a ram in the bush. And now think about Jesus. All of our sinful ways. God says, wait a minute. I'm going to send a sacrifice. And I think about, I don't really understand the sacrifice of Jesus. Let me be honest with you. It's still a mystery to me. Why would God exchange Jesus for me? I mean, think about, don't focus on you, just focus on me. I'm sinful by nature. Why would God send Jesus for me? I blow it often. I say the wrong words. Why would God send Jesus for me? That's the unimaginable, right? It doesn't make sense. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. That's why we have Jesus, because guess what? We would blow this whole thing called humanity. But then, if you think about it, it's really not about our expectations. This messed me up, because I like writing down expectations. I'm a person, I'm a pragmatist. I like to write my stuff down. And then when God says erase it, I say, how dare you? You not know who I am? I'm the Pastor McKendry, God. And God says, and? What does that supposed to mean to me? So I'm looking at him thinking, surely if indeed I were to think about God in these terms, Reggie Hill, the author of a book called Missional Renaissance, tells a story of a man who said, let me go and experiment with God's blessings. He asked God, help me to see how I can be a blessing to others. So one day his spirit led him to this coffee shop called Starbucks. He goes to Starbucks every day and he gets in line and he asks the person behind the counter, how can I ask God to bless you today? And every day he did that, people would look at him strangely. But then sooner or later, someone would say, well, let me tell you how you can pray for me. And so this revolution started. And then one day he went into this new coffee shop and this woman was there behind the counter. And he says, how can I bless you today? And she says, wait a minute. You must be one of those blessing people. Wouldn't you want to be known as a church? Not McKendry United Methodist Church, but a church that blesses people? I mean, everywhere you go, oh my goodness, they're here again. They're here to bless us. Let's just bow down before God. Right? I mean, imagine at the grocery store, there's a blessing person. At the gasoline station, there's a blessing person. Imagine if we were known simply for no other reason but to bless people. But here's the challenge. We get the first part of that, and we leave the second part out. I will bless you. We like that. Come on, God. To bless others. That's the part that's difficult for us. It's not ours to keep. We can't own it. It's not ours. It's to flow through us. And so every blessing I get, I have to rethink. Okay, God, how much do I give away? I was reading some disturbing news the other day around giving in America. And those of us who say we love Jesus and we tithe, let me tell you the national average now. It's 2%. 2% of us as believers in the body of Christ say we want to give to the church. Two. Not 10. But we love Jesus. And we want to do all we can and let somebody do something wrong to us and we want to lay hands on them and pray for them. 2%. Now, I'm not saying this from a legalistic standpoint. I'm just trying to understand if we say we love Jesus, but yet we act in a different way, how real is that love? Or more importantly, how real is that expectation? And so I want to challenge us this morning that so Abram went as the Lord had told him, grace will lead us. Nothing else will lead us. We can't have a good idea. Grace is the only thing that pulls us forward into today's journey. Grace is the only thing that leads us into the unknown. Grace is the only thing that will wake us up when we don't want to be awakened, when we talk to people we don't like. That's grace intervening. And I don't know about you, but I want to challenge you this morning. We have a sheet of paper. Do you have a sheet of paper in your bulletin? Just hold it up real quick. I'm looking for mine because I've misplaced it. You have it? You hold it up. And it says, so Abram went as the Lord had told him. Put it down. We want you to write this morning, where is God calling you? Where is God calling you? And you won't go. What's the thing that God is asking you to do and you won't do it? We're getting ready to start a young adult kind of big thing here because we're hearing that some of our young adults want to go somewhere else because it's not big enough here. And after thinking about that, well, I understand it's not big enough, but why would it be big enough if you're not contributing to the bigness? Oh, stay with me, you all. See, if I want something to grow, I'm going to invest in it. I'm not going to let somebody else grow it and then join it. See, I don't like to join things that are already big. I like to see God in the midst of it. And so I like to go to places that are decrepit and dead because God said, if you speak to the valley of dry bones, the bones will come together again. I want to be the prophet in the midst of chaos. I don't like lukewarm Christians. Do you? Either we're going to follow Jesus or we're not. Either we're going to invest or we're not. This morning, let grace lead us into a new revolution of doing things differently. Change your expectations. Don't only change them, but exchange them for what Jesus is doing in your life. God has a volume of things for you. They're called blessings. And do you want them? My biggest fear is getting into the kingdom. And God's going to say, come here. And he's going to open this door. And I'm going to look at him and go, wow, thank you. And God's going to say, no, I had that for you on earth. It's one of my favorite classical movies. A guy named Trevor, elementary school, giving us an assignment to change the world. Comes back with this concept that he calls pay it forward. And he says, if I can just kind of bless three people, and those three people bless three people, and those three bless three, I think the world will change. Well, that's what I want to challenge you with as I challenge myself this week. Find three people. Three people during your Lenten season and bless them. And ask them not only to receive your blessing, but to give your blessing to three others. And let's see what happens over these next 20-something days in the midst of Lent to see if Jesus is going to show up the way Jesus promises. One thing about Jesus is Jesus has never not kept a promise. Can you say that? I can't. It's a great exchange. I think about Jesus on the cross. And we have this debate, who killed Jesus? I love that debate. And I always look in the mirror when I ask that question because I have to come to the grips that I killed Jesus. My sin killed Jesus. But grace brought him back. And because grace brought him back, I can't put him back in the grave. So I need to live a life of God's expectations. So hear the words of wisdom this morning. Pass the blessing forward. Say that with me. Pass the blessing forward. Again, pass the blessing forward. Are you a blessing? Are you a blessing? Are you a blessing? Will you keep it? Have you kept it? You can't. It's not yours. In the name of Jesus. Give Jesus some praise in his house this morning.